It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this 7th day of July 2020. It is a hot and steamy 7th of July here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan. I mean miserable. Here in the fabulous Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, the air conditioner is going hell-bent for leather, and it is 88 degrees in here. Those great big windows just really soak up the sun this time of year. It's amazing how that doesn't happen during the, but never mind. It's naked radio again, no doubt about that, but I don't know, even with naked radio, I don't know how long. I've been sitting back here doing, hi, I'm Bob. Been sitting back here doing some of my reading and prepping and things like that, and I'm roasted and not in a good way. So we'll get as far into the program as we can before I have to run screaming to a cooler room, because this is nasty, and I like heat, I do, but I think it's more of a we've had some big puffies flying through today, so I think it's considerably more humid as well. And, the AC can only go so far to dehumidify. Yeah, but anyway, it's Titanic Tuesday. Trump-tanic Tuesday. And on these Tuesdays, you know, we celebrate truly Trump-tanic manifestations of right-wing intellect, like full speed ahead into that, full
speed ahead into that, into that damned iceberg. We'll show it who's boss.
And what comes after. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so that means thanks go out to our 7th day of the month subscribers. That would be, in particular, Brock and Reed and James, thank you all very kindly. Where do we stand? Fundraising, 255 to come even with this part of the week, and $55 to finish yesterday, and then 200 for today, and hopefully we will knock that out. We'll just have to see. If you'd like to become a subscriber and join Brock and Reed on the 7th of the month, just click the little box there at headon.live for the PayPal interface that says make this happen every month, and, well, it will. And that a $10 a month subscription sets back a subscriber, not quite a half a stick of chewing gum, not quite a half a sausage biscuit, not quite half of a McDonald's hamburger. Yeah, not quite half of a chili cheese dog at Dairy Queen. These are all local prices, mind you. But there's oodles and oodles and oodles of bills. And these are going to be a couple of rough months. There's no doubt about it. And a few more after that. But thank you to those who are among the small group, about 1 out of every 100 listeners, who help keep this program going from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year, and into our second decade. Thank you. Also, of course, you know, we have an adjunct to the fun we have here. You can always run over to headon.live and click on chat room and jump into the merry, wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza, multimedia in nature, that takes place when this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in the middle and the great globe around. If you jump in this afternoon, you'll be greeted by Anatole and Jimmy and Otto DeShot and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a third stage guild navigator, well, yeah, he knows better than to fold space into the man cave, because the man cave is probably, at this point in time, what, Sparky, would you say you're about 20 degrees hotter than I am in the studio here? It'd be about 108, 110, something like that, yeah. But it's real cool in the chat room, so feel free to jump on by. Yep. Note from Joey to get the program going. Bob, I arrived home late Sunday night after retiring Richard from the evening from the casino and decided that I wanted to take the puppies for a walk under the full moon of a sultry evening. However, after leashing my puppies, I could not locate their pooper scooper in the usual location by the garage door. The pups gave me a puzzled look and wondered why we were not going for an immediate walk. I then told the girls that I could not find their scooper, as my wife had probably taken it to work on her little flower bed in the back. It was dark, and I was not about to look for it at that hour. I then informed the girls that they will have to do their business in the field, and not just anywhere tonight. Just then, Ivy, the pure corgi, had a great suggestion. Why don't we go to Barb and Al's and then over to Lloyd's lot and dump there? Now, keep in mind, both doggies are corgis, and both of them are strongly democratic, hence I aptly refer to them as the Demodogs. Sounds great, girls. We first stopped at Barb and Al's place, and Oreo did her deal and then said, I remember these idiots. They're the bigots who hate Obama and said Obamacare was a terrible communist program, all the while Al's had numerous surgeries, hip and knee replacements, bypass surgery, and other medical procedures under Medicare, and both he and his wife collect substantial Social Security every month. Pooey on them, Oreo said as we were leaving. Then Ivy took her turn up at Lloyd's little lot next to his house. Lloyd's mother is a Fox-watching freak who thinks Fox is actually news. She lost her husband many years ago and basically raised her kids on her own. Actually, not quite on her own, as she collected Social Security for all three children following the death of their father, and on occasion, food stamps. One time, I tried to explain to her that both of the programs are Democratic programs, and Republicans numerous times have tried to cut funding to these staple programs. She just told me that I was full of crap, and that was not true. Well, on this night, it was not me who was full of crap, but rather it was her front lawn, thanks to Ivy's contribution. We arrived home and informed Giraffrey, of our visit to our favorite neighbors, and of course our hearty donation to the Republicans. Giraffrey had the line of the night when he said, by the time they notice that in the morning after a little sunlight hits it, wow, that'll really be tough shit. Last night I took the pups for another walk with a pooper scooper in hand, and we actually found both messes and cleaned them up. Ivy questioned why. Considering we Democrats have to constantly clean up all the shit Republicans leave behind every time the Republicans are in office. Well, I told Ivy, Jeffrey doesn't like to ever go low or stoop to the level of the Republicans. By now, we all know how high Giraffrey stands and what Giraffrey stands for, so let's not leave a mess for anybody else, because we're Democrats. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 7th day of June, 2020, with Giraffrey's wonderful wisdom from on high, no less. That's true. You know, we put things to rights, and then the country loses its mind, elects a Republican president, a Republican Congress, and they spend the next few years looting everything that's been fixed. That's one of the things that always makes it kind of humorous to watch Republicans complaining about looting when they're the biggest looters this country has ever known. Yeah. Steve in New York. So Sparky's Man Cave is nearly 111 degrees. It pretty much. Yeah. Billable Rick informs us that Joey did what is colloquially referred to as gorilla dog walking, since he left them since he left their leavings uncleaned. Well, he did go back and clean up after. I mean, yeah. But yeah. So, Trumptanic intellect for today. Well, let's see. How about, let's just get this out of the way. A guy in a big box store. Usually it's the women who have the mask conniptions, but this is a young guy standing next to a woman wearing a mask. He's not. And he's more, well, the women who do the, who throw the Karens, the Karen fits, they're more in the way of passive-aggressive. This guy did away with the passive part and just went straight for aggressive.
You're 6 feet away from you.
You're harassing me.
I'm not harassing you. You're coming close to me.
Back off! Yes. Threaten me again! Yes. Back the fuck up! Put your fucking phone down!
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the guy says stay 6 feet away, and the guy advances while saying, I feel threatened. Any decent prosecutor would have a field day with that. Threatened people don't advance on the people they think are threatening them. Interestingly, this particular maggot jackass is wearing a red T-shirt. The color red is a sign now. He's wearing a red T-shirt that says, Running the World Since 1776. As he proceeds to scream at a man with an accent.
Feet away from you.
You're harassing me.
I'm not harassing you. You are infecting us. You're coming close to me. You're coming close to me.
Back off!
Yes.
Threaten me again!
Yes.
Back the fuck up! Put your fucking phone down!
Sir, please.
Somebody needed to just help adjust his attitude. And a lot of people surmising that his behavior suggests that he might be a cop. There's no guarantee of that. But that T-shirt, little outline of the United States, the continental United States, Alaska and Hawaii aren't on there, but an outline of the continental United States and Running the World Since 1776. This guy is he's a special brand of stupid, a particular brand of maggot. And then there's West Virginia Governor, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, who, in an effort to get the hillbillies to comply and wear a mask, donned one on TV for everybody to see, so that they would see that he was that he weren't no sissy. He can wear a mask. And he proceeded to put it on. You can see this on my Twitter timeline. Oh, dear. Proceeded to put it on by first putting it over his eyes and looping the loops behind his ear and then stretching it down over his nose and mouth. There's no small amount of symbolism in that. Yeah. See no COVID, get no COVID, something like that. Yeah. Ugh. Tom Hanks, and by the way, Agnes and I watched Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood a couple of nights ago, and it was a lovely film. It really, really was. And in many ways, Tom Hanks, I think, is this era's Jimmy Stewart. Interviewed by the Today Show, I think, Tom Hanks said, "Look, there's no law against ignorance. It's not illegal to have opinions that are wrong," discussing the maggots. "But there's a darkness on the edge of town here, folks. Let's not confuse the fact that it's killing people." He and his wife have finally made it back home after contracting COVID-19 in Australia. And he is, of course, at odds with people like, Corona Caligula and his White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, who agreed that 99% of coronavirus cases are harmless. 99%. You know, when in fact, some 20% of the people who get it wind up in a hospital, severely ill. But that matters not to COVID Claudius, nor to his immediate lickspittles and sycophants, and certainly not to the people who hang on his every word and treat him as though he is speaking with the very voice of God from atop Mount Sinai. No. Because they care only about themselves. Not anyone else. And the idea of caring about community, well, that's offensive to them because community and communism, they come from the same place. And all you got to say is zoom, and you got communism. And that's how it works. See? So if you care about your community, he's liable to find yourself singing the Internationale or something. Or whatever it is you have to sing to be a commie. Right? Dangerous business is what that is. Dangerous business. So the maggots will just go on not giving a shit about anybody but themselves and expect the rest of us to carry the weight for them and hope that we're sufficient to keep them from getting the Rona. I think that's how it's supposed to work. Oh, God. And of course, there's a particularly tragic story of Trump-tanic intellect. That comes out of Florida. It's a horror of a story. Tragic, heartbreaking. Choose your word. Nothing short of awful. The story concerns a 17-year-old girl. We know her name was Carson Lee Davis. She had a rough lot in life entering the world. She came down with cancer when she was 2 years old. But she survived it. And then at age five, she developed a nervous system disorder and survived that. But at age 17, she was somewhat fragile and in an immunocompromised state. And that, of course, is why her mama took her to what, for all intents and purposes, was a COVID party. Now, we heard about them among college kids in the state of Alabama. This wasn't that. It was a teen youth group event offered by the First Assembly of God Church, where young Carson Lee Davis lived. And at the First Assembly of God Church, they set out food for the youngins and basketball and karaoke. But, well, Florida's in the middle of a massive increase in disease. And Pastor David Thomas of the First Assembly of God Church told WBBH-TV that if the kids didn't socially distance, that was on them, and that the church didn't try to impose any rules or order on the event, because, you know, Jesus was an anarchist, I guess. Yeah, really. And then once they got busted or outed as the source of the COVID that poor Carson Lee Davis came down with, suddenly they disappeared all their stuff, all the videos about the June 10th event from YouTube, and then they shut down their social media presences via Facebook and Instagram when people began to notice that this church had turned into a disease vector. Yeah. Because you just can't expect youngins to stay home and not get out and waller and larp and smollock and grabulate all over each other in the middle of a pandemic. So, little Carson Lee Davis, young Carson Lee Davis, got sick because at the viral vector party thrown by the First Assembly of God, no one wore masks either. Of course not. So, when she developed a headache at the front of her skull and felt sinus pressure and had a mild hacking cough. It had gotten up to June the 13th. Now, here's where it gets really terrifying. Mama is a nurse and Daddy is a physician's assistant. So instead of taking her to a physician, Carson Lee Davis's mama and Daddy just on their own gave her a dose of azithromycin, also known as a Z-Pak. Azithromycin is one of those antibiotics that's touted as a way to treat, and when I say touted, I mean touted among the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings as a way to treat coronavirus. Let's be clear, azithromycin is an antibiotic, and antibiotics don't kill viruses. Only antivirals do that. So the Z-Pak didn't work. And here's the other thing. Her mama, the nurse, and her daddy, the physician's assistant, decided to diagnose her themselves and diagnosed in the middle of a pandemic with a child who is immunocompromised in the first place, a sinus infection. But then June 19th, with Carson Lee Davis doing no better, Mama noticed that as she slept, she seemed kind of gray. And that is when Mama dosed her with, of course, hydroxychloroquine. The medical examiner has been unable to discover where it is that Mama and Daddy got these prescription medications that you can't just get. Gee, I wonder. Her a nurse and him a physician's assistant. Depending on what state you're in, curiously, you can, physician's assistants can write prescriptions. Well, the hydroxychloroquine did exactly what it wasn't supposed to do. And when it didn't work, they borrowed Granddaddy's oxygen machine and put her on that. Granddaddy has an oxygen machine because Granddaddy has chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. Disease. They waited another day. And then finally they took her to a local hospital. Local hospital took one look and said, mm-mm, and transferred her from Gulf Coast Medical Center in South Fort Myers to the Golisano Children's Hospital, which then diagnosed her with COVID-19. Of course, that she'd gotten with the by hanging around with a bunch of Jesus fiends. On June the 20th and 21st, young Carson Lee Davis, all of 17 years old, a fighter all her life, had plasma treatment. Didn't help. The family had been previously recommended that the young woman be put on a ventilator. But Mama the nurse and Daddy the physician's assistant said no. And then finally, they allowed her to be intubated. And according to the medical examiner's report, her cardiorespiratory system was already so seriously damaged and compromised that after being transferred to Nicholas Children's Hospital in Miami on June 23rd, she died. She died. Now, what about Mama? Well, Mama's social media pages, in particular Facebook, is just one QAnon post after another. It's all awash in anti-vax stuff, garbage, mis- and disinformation about COVID-19 and the coronavirus. Those John Bircher sovereign citizen-esque legal theories such that one may conclude that Mama was a walking, talking, weaponized wingnut. Oh, God. How is she going to avoid prosecution? Well, I'll be happy to tell you. She won't be prosecuted because, among other things, that viral cesspit that she took her child to, hosted by the First Assembly of God, well, the fact is, there's nothing illegal about it. Because white supremacist adjacent, illegitimate Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, the man who became governor only with the aid and cooperation of real, no kidding, Nazis, took no steps to keep things like that, that diseased gathering from taking place. Maybe they can get her on the unprescribed medications. But even though the Miami-Dade Medical Examiner's Office includes in the report she did not wear a mask at the event that had over 100 people at it, and that social distancing was not followed, well, it matters not. Because feed 'em. Jesus, they should put that mother under the... But shouldn't there be a duty to warn? Warning! The nurse treating you is a QAnon goon who thinks, who is an anti-vaxxer and a maggot. Wouldn't that doctor's patients have a right to know that? Because if she's willing to hazard the life of her own immunocompromised child, what in the world would she be willing to do to that doctor's patients? What if you're a person of color who goes to that doctor? Yeah, we know these monsters are not kindly disposed to people who don't. Well, never mind. No. But you get the point. So, rest in peace, Carson Lee Davis. It was a hell of a 17 years you lived. And your mother and father, mostly your mother, killed you. You can kill with negligence as much as you can with intent. I keep saying it. They are bioterrorists, these maggots. Pure and simple. And there are stories like this every day. Ugh. Megan with a note, so it's now okay to kill your kids? When will these parents be charged with their child's murder? Likely they won't. Robert in Australia with a note, and it's all gone to hell in Victoria. Mebane is back in full lockdown. Residents of 9 public housing towers are in total lockdown. They are surrounded by a police cordon, and food is being shipped in. The border between Victoria and New South Wales closed last night at midnight. New South Wales residents leaving Victoria are being allowed back into New South Wales, but must lock down for 14 days. Defying the new public health order carries a maximum penalty of $11,000 and 6 months in jail. That's Robert's world. Robert, fortunately, is in New South Wales. Victoria, of course, the southern portion of the Australian continent. Because Australian officials recognize, even though they've got a horribly conservative Tory-type government, even they're sharp enough to realize that you can't just let this thing run its course. Nobody likes being locked down. Nobody likes locking people down. But it's all a question of the greater good. I suppose, Robert, there are some cranks down there hollering about freedom, mate. But I doubt you've got it in nearly the concentrations we have here. And I dare hope that perhaps responsible governments would even prosecute someone like Carson Lee Davis's mother. Just, you know, none of the governments here. No. Of course not. That wouldn't be good. Randy in PA pointing out, I've got an elderly friend who is convinced that Jesus will protect him. I fear that he's about to become a scientific statistic. Yeah. And an epidemiological one. And from a psychological standpoint, That's what's so baffling. How? Well, even when they are proven wrong, they double down. Even when it is unequivocal how wrong they are, they cling tenaciously to their wrongness. Because somehow or another, I guess their sense of self is wrapped up not in being right or wrong, but in being, what, deemed loyal to their god emperor? I don't know. I don't know. I just really don't. Yeah, it's something to think about. Labor man, your buddy Gary in New Mexico, say, do you ever consider a reflective drape for each window, an aluminum foil or heavy cloth drape? That's what I do in the summer, and it helps a bunch. We've got heavy drapes. That's the thing. We've got heavy drapes on these windows. If we didn't, it'd probably be 100 in here with the air conditioner going hell-bent for leather. It's just a matter of the orientation of the house, I guess. Hey, thank you to Jeremy. Jeremy just got us started this evening. So that takes us down to $250 to go. And hopefully Jeremy will get some company. Thanks, Jeremy. So much Trump-tanic intellect. Here's a good reason never again to do business with Jimmy John's sandwich shop. Granted, they did fire the two people who did what I'm about to describe, but these things happen because of corporate cultures. This particular Jimmy John's is in Woodstock, Georgia. And it became infamous over the holiday just passed. Video went out all over social media. And you can see Jimmy John's employees there in Woodstock, Georgia, crafting a noose.
Jimmy Gallows, sir, you have disrespected our Lord Nick.
They're all wearing their American flag aprons, and they use bread dough to craft a noose and put it around a guy's neck.
Jimmy Gallows, sir, you have disrespected our Lord Nick. Now you're set to die. Come on.
Yeah, they made a noose out of bread dough. And so there are four people involved. The one guy who puts the bread dough noose around the other guy's neck, that's two. A young woman who is videoing it, and the person and a fourth person who's also videoing it. Yeah, various news outlets reported that at least three, possibly four people, maybe more, were terminated, fired. Because the last thing in the world Jimmy John's needed was to be associated with more racism. Yes, both employees, both the guy putting the noose on and the guy having the neck of the noose put on him are white. It matters not. The fuck? How do you do? what is the mental process by which you do something like that and think it's not just okay? But funny. Yeah, we're going to make a bread dough noose. Jesus. Yeah, meanwhile, Nitwit Nero's out there blathering on about the Confederate flag and NASCAR. Saying that NASCAR had a right to ban the flag, but he thinks they made a mistake. And according to Kaylee Maganini, the professional liar, spokescreep for Donald Trump, NASCAR, and this was, of course, after Nitwit Nero called for Bubba Wallace to apologize to NASCAR for being upset about a noose in his garage.
To work its way through COVID-19.
And meanwhile, Kaylee, of course, the president gave that speech at Mount Rushmore. We saw that amazing flyover and the celebration on Saturday night from the Air Force and the B-1 bombers, the B-52 actually up there. Here's the president speaking about what he says now is basically a culture war.
This left-wing cultural revolution is designed to overthrow the American Revolution. We will never let them rip America's heroes from our monuments or from our hearts. By tearing down Washington and Jefferson, these radicals would tear down the very heritage for which men gave their lives to win the Civil War.
I wonder if he said anything about the tearing down of the statue of Frederick Douglass. Of course not.
Over the weekend, Kaylee, a statue of Christopher Columbus was taken down in Baltimore and thrown in the Inner Harbor. The Democratic-controlled New York City Council wants to take Thomas Jefferson out of this city council. And Tammy Duckworth was asked about George Washington, taking down George Washington, and she replied on CNN that, well, she would be open to hearing the argument. What's the view about taking down George Washington and some others?
This is absolute insanity. America's the greatest country on earth. This nation and the bedrock of freedom put in place by our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence.
Yep. Greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, under God. Oh, my aching back. Yeah, I really am. How does this jingoistic horse shit work on people? Is it because they're poorly educated? And a Harvard law graduate like Kaylee Maganini knows it and uses it to prey upon the weak minds of the maggots? Is that it?
Has done more for the world and for the advancement of human history than any country on planet Earth. This is a good country, a country to be proud of, and the president will never apologize.
More to advance the... What? So Johannes Gutenberg was a citizen of the United States? The inventor of the printing press? The ancient Romans who developed the aqueduct? The ancient Egyptians who built the pyramids? The ancient Chinese who built a really long, stupid wall? Yep. All part of the greatest country in the history of the universe, now, today, forever, under God? Yes.
Apologize for what makes America great. But what the president is saying here and has said quite clearly in his speech, we're not for the ripping down of monuments, the tearing down of our history. And America stands with him. 71% are against the ripping down of statues and monuments and are quite proud of this country and what we've done to advance freedom across the world.
Yeah, and utterly oblivious of the walking mass of bleach and privilege that she is. Oh, now there's an idea. Going back to the Jimmy John story, Renee in D.C. says, I guess they were maybe smoking and calculated up some hypotenuse. Hypotenuse. Yeah, that's a cowbell, Renee. No doubt about it. Kyle noting, the bedrock of freedom is making statues of and honoring white men who held black people as property. Is that what she meant to say? Orwell would blush. Orwell's been blushing for a while now.
Joni Ernst also grabbed a lot of headlines over the weekend, appearing to distance herself from the president, talking about blemishes in our history, talking about the nation needing to come together, but specifically distancing herself from the president when it comes to renaming some of the military bases, peaceful protesters and other things. What does the president have to say about that this morning?
Well, the president, again, stands firmly against the renaming of our base. Along with him is 56% of this country. This president stands by our monuments, our great monuments, many of which have been defaced, that of abolitionists like Matthias Baldwin and Ulysses S. Grant and Gandhi, who's the head of, who is known for peaceful protest and was an inspiration to Reverend Martin Luther King. These mobs have no ideology. They're defacing abolitionists. They're defacing war monuments to black Americans who served in the Civil War. This is unacceptable, and it has no rhyme or reason or no ideological foundation.
But considering Joni Ernst's stance...
Well, see, here's the part where that... where Kaylee's Harvard edumacation appears to most grievously fail her. It's pretty stupid to assume that the same person who would tear down a statue of, say, oh, I don't know, Stonewall Jackson or Nathan Bedford Forrest, is the same person who would tear down a statue of, oh, I don't know, Frederick Douglass. Because it seems abundantly obvious that those would not be the same people. Because they are at radical odds ideologically with each other. So when somebody like Kaylee McEnany says these mobs, she means something. That primarily only Fox viewers can understand in translation. And you know what that is.
Is the president concerned that there might be other Republican members of Congress like her that distance themselves from the president's views on that?
No, because the president knows he stands firmly and squarely with the majority of Americans who think it's unacceptable to pull down our statues, to deface Gandhi, and to deface some of...
Yeah, it's funny how she's all about Gandhi and George Washington and Frederick Douglass and Thomas Jefferson and can't quite get around to the fact that the real objection is to Stonewall Jackson and Nathan Bedford Forrest and Braxton Bragg and Lee and... Yeah, right. Yeah, that is, I think, commonly referred to as transference. And then there's the question of military bases, like Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Might as well name it Fort Loser, because Braxton Bragg sucked, and Braxton Bragg lost. It'd be like, oh, I don't know. It'd be like naming the naval base in San Diego, Naval Base Yamamoto. Or having a naval base in Mobile Bay and naming it Naval Base Raphael Semmes, who was the greatest naval officer the Confederacy had. I mean, even at Germany, in the First World War, Hermann Göring was a decorated fighter pilot and went on to be the head of the Luftwaffe in the Second World War. But Germany doesn't have any air bases named Göring, as Steve points out. Naval Base Yamamoto, Yamamoto wasn't even a traitor. He was loyal to his country and actually was opposed to the fascist regime's desire to start a war with the United States. But he got outvoted. Democracy. Lou pointing out, originally Sparta was a revolutionary society, which after their revolution became sclerotically conservative, all too much like the USA. Indeed. Here's what they are, says Stephen New York. See if you can guess which word this defines. A system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure of or object. A relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or sinister. C. A misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing. Well, now, I think I know the answer, but I'll leave it to others to guess and submit your own answers. And as Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx points out, base namings are for winners.
The great abolitionists that we have seen either toppled or torn down across the country.
Yeah, there even was a destruction of a Frederick Douglass statue.
Right.
Any update on the Garden of Statues? I do want to point out that there is the Hall of Fame of Great Americans in Bronx, New York. It started in 1900, and they have busts, 98 of them. Some of them are some of the same people that the president has proposed for his garden. For
Billy Graham?
When do we expect that to open? What's going to happen?
Billy Graham? It was the Jews, Billy, the Jews. Yes, Mr. President, and they're all going to burn in hell because they killed Christ. Billy Graham.
Yeah, you know, we hope to see that open, and the president has set that date of July 4th, 2024, in the 60 days to look into this. And I think the prospect of having a Garden of Heroes is a great way to make sure that America's students know and understand history by commemorating people, like Martin Luther King Jr. and Betsy Ross and Susan B. Anthony and these great American icons who made great strides for Black Americans in this country and for women in this country.
Yeah, hold on,
celebrating these heroes is
Betsy Ross advanced the cause of Black people in this. What? Somebody get Snopes on the blower and see if she actually said that. Because she did.
The one goal the president has in creating this Garden of
Heroes.
Kaylee,
I want to finish off by asking you about a recent tweet of the president's going back to Bubba Wallace and the investigation of what he and others at the time thought was a noose. There was a federal investigation of that. It was revealed that it was
No, it's not what they thought was a noose. It was a goddamn noose, you Fox twit. There's no getting around that it was a noose. A noose is a particular form of knot, just like a sheep shank is a knot, or a slip knot is a knot, or a bow is a knot, or a square knot is a knot. A noose is a knot, and it was a noose.
a pull rope for the garage that had been in previous pictures. The president, though, is bringing it back up in a brand new tweet. Has Bubba Wallace apologized to all those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him, only to find out that the whole thing was just another hoax?
Willing to sacrifice everything for him? Yeah, sacrifice what? They stood up and said they objected to racism in the ranks of NASCAR. Nobody's burnt their barns like Flem Snopes would have. Oops, there's another Snopes reference. Yeah.
That and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever. This was never determined to be a hoax, Kaylee. Is it helpful for the president to bring that back up, considering this is something obviously that the federal investigation weighed in on? He's done many interviews since then, but to determine it a hoax in a new tweet.
So NASCAR, I would note, their statement says that this garage pull rope was there since last fall, since far before the teams arrived at these garages. They also said definitively, as the FBI investigation determined it, that there was no hate crime versus Bubba committed. What the president is making is a broader point that this rush to judgment on the facts before the facts are out is not acceptable. And we saw it with the Covington kids, and we saw it with Jesse Smollett, and now we saw it in this case before
but
the
Kaylee,
FBI
hold
came
on.
To that
people conclusion. Are going to quickly point out that that comparison is not fair to call this a hoax when he stands by that he truly believes that that's what it was.
Right?
Oh, my aching back. It was a rush to judgment on NASCAR's part. NASCAR's been dealing with the issue of the Confederate flag at its tracks for 10 years or more. But there was a rush to judgment. So says this inveterate pathological abuser of facts. Yeah, Darlene, that was Billy Graham. That was Billy Graham, I swear. I thought it was Mitt Romney. The two of them sound exactly alike. Eerie. Billy Graham later repented and said he shouldn't have so readily agreed with Richard M. Nixon that it was the Jews. So it's Hollywood Jews, Billy. We could be a decent nation if it weren't for those Jews in Hollywood. Yes, Mr. President. Or maybe it's maybe I misunderstood Darlene and my Mitt Romney sounds an awful lot like my Billy Graham, which is entirely possible. Here's one from, here's a suggestion from Randy, not Randy in PA, different Randy. How about Kimmel Naval Air Base after husband Kimmel, the commander of Pearl Harbor on December 7th? Right. Or just name West Point Benedict Arnold Military Academy. There's a good one. Why isn't there a military base named for Santa Ana in Texas? Under maggot logic, there should be. Acknowledging, of course, that maggot and logic are contradictions in terms. That's not the answer. I've got the answer for 200, Bob. Now all I need is the 200. The answer's fetish, Bob. This can also be attached to people sexually, sort of like the Republicans attached two sliding rear Putins by way of Donald Trump. If I were teaching history and my students said that Vladimir Putin was president of the United States, I would have to mark the answer correct. By the way, can anybody find the records for the Continental Air Force? I've been looking for over a year. Signed, your buddy Dave in the blind. No, it's not fetish, Dave. Steve's already sent me the answer. I already knew it. But we'll give a few other folks a chance, too. Anti-lockdown protests in Melbourne back in May. To answer your question, Robert says that there was an anti-lockdown protest, Melbourne, Victoria, back in May 2020. About 100 people protested outside Parliament House, despite being under orders to stay at home. 10 protesters were arrested. I assume those 100 protesters from May are currently at home in lockdown. I'm not aware of any other protests specifically about the lockdown in Australia. There were a number of Black Lives Matter protests during the lockdown in June as restrictions were being eased across the country. Photos indicate that many protesters had masks on. Signed, Robert, in isolation in Oz. P.S. Every politician on the planet claims that their country is the greatest in the world. They do it here on a regular basis. Because I guess there are just enough simple members of the electorate to buy into that. Yeah. Oh, here it is, Tuesday. It is the 7th of July. And being a Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report coming up. So maybe in the next 6 minutes or so, we can take down the rest of yesterday's $50. That would be wonderful. Thanks in advance. Let's see what Brad and Desi have.
It's Tuesday, July 7, 2020.
The only purpose this pipeline ultimately will serve is to boost the profits of its developers.
Big and bad news for pipelines, good news for those who oppose them. Japan reeling from another round of record rains and catastrophic floods. Plus,
we have a plan for building the 100% clean energy economy.
House Democrats unveil comprehensive climate proposal to reach net zero emissions by 2050.
No net?
No net.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Flushing the toilet may fling coronavirus aerosols all over. Our toilets have turned on us. Though I can't say I'm surprised after all we've done to them.
Seems only fair. This is your Green News Report.
It was only a matter of time before they rose up to exact their revenge.
Okay, Desi Doyen, after years and years of protests and struggles, we got a whole bunch of good news about pipelines all in one day.
Yes, but we'll get to that in a moment. First,
tease.
Japan is reeling again from another round of record-breaking torrential rainfall over the weekend that triggered widespread deadly floods and mudslides that have killed at least 34 people on the island of Kyushu. Japan has been repeatedly battered by devastating extreme storms in recent years that have killed hundreds of people. Climate scientists say the storms have been intensified due to man-made global warming. In politics,
we are releasing a transformative roadmap for solving the climate crisis.
House Democrats, right before the July 4th holiday, unveiled a sweeping plan for climate action and economic recovery by establishing the groundwork for steering the country to net zero emissions by 2050 with a focus on environmental and racial justice. The 547-page proposal outlines targets and policy mechanisms for establishing a price on carbon emissions and eliminating carbon pollution from cars by 2030 and from power plants by 2040. It embraces much of the Green New Deal without actually calling it a Green New Deal. It won't pass the Republican-controlled Senate today, but the proposal shows voters what Democrats plan to do on climate change.
Good idea. Although, better idea, don't release the plan right before the 4th of July when no one's paying attention.
Good point. Meanwhile, a pipeline palooza of bad news.
Bad news?
Oh, bad news for the pipelines.
Okay.
First up, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday refused a bid by the Trump administration to jumpstart construction on the controversial Keystone XL tar sands pipeline from Canada. The court kept in place a lower court ruling that blocked the use of a key federal fast-track water permit, but only for the Keystone XL, not for other pipelines. They will be allowed to proceed while environmental reviews are underway. underway.
But the Supreme Court said no, essentially, for now, to Donald Trump on Keystone XL?
Yes.
That's good news, not bad news.
Right. The court's rejection means that almost all Keystone XL construction is delayed until at least 2021.
Sad trombone.
The controversial Atlantic Coast Pipeline, an $8 billion fracked gas project, is now kaput after two of the nation's largest utilities announced they are abandoning the project due to increased regulatory scrutiny and delays that ballooned costs and hampered the project's profitability. The stunning cancellation from Dominion Energy and Duke Energy comes just weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for the pipeline to cross underneath the iconic Appalachian Trail.
Nobody wants pipelines. So sad.
But there is a twist. In a separate deal, billionaire investor Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway has purchased all of Dominion Energy's natural gas pipeline and storage assets. If approved, Berkshire Hathaway will then control nearly 20% of the nation's interstate natural gas transmission, which would be an incentive to lobby against climate legislation.
Buffett.
And finally, in North Dakota, the biggest pipeline news of all today, a federal judge has ordered the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline to be shut down and emptied.
Wow.
Completely.
Wow.
Until the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers completes a more in-depth environmental impact assessment. This is a huge victory for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, which has fought the Dakota Access Pipeline since it was first proposed, calling it an unacceptable threat to their drinking water supplies and sacred cultural sites. Anti-pipeline protesters were met with violent crackdowns from state officials. Back in March, after a preliminary ruling by the judge, the attorney for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, Jan Hasselman of Earth Justice, told the Green News Report,
"This is a huge victory for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and all the people who have supported them over the years. The risks of an oil spill are too great, but the consequences on the Standing Rock are too significant, and this needs to be studied really carefully and in a transparent way."
Important to remember that this is a temporary victory. It's not over yet, but the party may be over for pipelines.
They are, of course, going to appeal this decision, but this is exactly what the Standing Rock Sioux had said. There was no proper environmental study done. Now, maybe it will be.
Maybe.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Call it a night.
And, well, that is the best news in ages. The ordered shutdown of the Dakota Access Pipeline and the abandonment of the Mid-Atlantic Pipeline. Of course, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice was practically in tears over the abandonment of the Mid-Atlantic. It's going to provide... In no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want you to think that I don't know that it was going to provide thousands of good jobs to West Virginians. Which is always a lie. Gonna be thousands and thousands of good jobs. And then it turns out there's like two. Yeah. Ugh. Oh, and a further idiot.
Happy presents us.
Auto run, go to hell. Martinez, California, where on Independence Day, the 4th of July, a pair of cranky, vicious white people went out on the street to paint over the Black Lives Matter mural on the road. Right in front of the Contra Costa County Courthouse. Well, the pair are caught on video. The woman painting and a man shouting, "All lives matter!" And then when the cops got called, they took off running. Thanks for sharing this, Sparky. The mural has since been repaired, and an arrest warrant has been issued for the two maggots who engaged in the public destruction. Jesus, the stupidity with these people. You know, in line with the story of Carson Lee Davis, the 17-year-old girl killed by their the malevolent ignorance of mostly, I guess, her mother. Yesterday, Dr. Fauci testified or discussed, I guess, the present state of the pandemic. And one of the things he pointed out is that the average age of new coronavirus patients has dropped by 15 years. Dropped. He said it's a serious situation that we have to address immediately. Then, of course, there's Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who said Dr. Fauci doesn't know what he's talking about. Dr. Fauci said the average age of people getting infected now is a decade and a half younger than it was a few months ago, particularly when New York and New Orleans and Chicago were getting hit very badly. The median age of new COVID-19 patients in Florida, for instance, has dropped to 33, down from 50s and 60s in March and April. And then, of course, they're more prone to, regardless of how sick they get, they are more prone to infect other people. Oh, and here's some hopeful news. Over the previous weekend, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem LARPed and smollocked and gravelated around with Kimberly Guilfoyle. And then, after the Nuremberg rally on indigenous land in South Dakota, she got on Air Force One and rode all the way back with Corona Caligula. Yeah, after having been breathed all over by COVID Kim. The announcement that Kimberly Guilfoyle had become viral freaked out some Republicans. Representative Greg Gianforte of Montana suspended in-person campaigning because it turned out that his wife and his running mate had been to a fundraiser with COVID Kim LARPing and smollocking earlier in the week. Yeah. That comes as we get news out of Brazil that fascist monstrosity Jair Bolsonaro has tested positive for the Rona. So there's a little good news today. Somebody asked Kaylee Maganini why they let Kristi Noem travel with the president after he after she had been spewed on by Kimberly Guilfoyle. And a professional abuser of the facts, Kayleigh McEnany, said, they take the president's health very seriously. They would never put him in a situation that would put him in harm's way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. Oh, and I mentioned the Bubba Wallace business with Nitwit Nero attacking him and calling the noose a hoax, demanding that he apologize when there's nothing to apologize for. Bubba responded on Twitter and said responded to Nitwit Nero and said, "Your words and actions will always be held to a higher standard than others. You have to be prepared for that. You don't learn these things in school. You learn them from trials and tribulations, the ups and downs this crazy world provides. You'll always have people testing you, seeing if they can knock you off your pedestal. I encourage you to keep your head held high and walk proudly on the path you've chosen. Never let anybody tell you can't do something. God put us all here for a reason. Find that reason and be proud of it and work your tails off every day towards it. All the haters are doing is elevating your voice and platform to much greater heights." Which is a very nice way of telling people that Donald Trump is just a vicious, jealous, insecure shit stain. LeBron James retweeted Bubba Wallace's indirect rebuke of Julius Geezer. As to the coronavirus, well, down in Texas, every infected person is infecting 1.2 other people, creating a risk level that is high and a disease transmission rate that is climbing. Available ICU beds are at 78%, just 22% away from complete overload. Texas isn't contact tracing worth a damn. And they've got a 13.3% positive test rate, meaning that Texas still, because Greg Abbott, because Dan Patrick, because maggots, because Republicans, well, they're not testing worth a damn. Missouri, where our dear friend Sister Carol Baker has not set foot outside her house for months trying to stay alive. Missouri's catching fire. They've got a 1.12 reinfection rate. Missouri, whose motto, curiously, is "Show Me," does not want to be shown how many cases they have, because they've traced all of 3% of their cases. Somebody cue up Lee Greenwood. Florida ablaze. Every infected person in Florida, to the best of their science's knowledge, infecting 1.31 other people. And at high risk for a massive outbreak. And even here in West Virginia, we've reached the at-risk level because our infection rate is through the roof at 1.27. And we're at 55% contacts traced, but it's still insufficient to stop the spread of the disease. And precious little in the way of guidance. And children supposed to return to school on August the 10th, a little more than a month away. I've mentioned our grandchildren before, and they're among the people that make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice wants to see put their little lives at risk in furtherance of his political ambitions. One wonders what the West Virginia Teachers Union will have to say about union being the American Federation of Teachers. Then there's the West Virginia Education Association, which isn't a union. But in order to put all those little lives at risk, every teacher in this state is also going to have to be willing to put their life at risk in order to satisfy Jim Justice's vain desire for a second term, when he damned well didn't deserve the first one. Yeah, no kidding, he's putting children and education professionals' lives at risk, bus drivers' lives at risk, custodial people's lives at risk, at the same time that he's pissing and moaning that we're not going to build a toxic explosive death funnel pipeline through West Virginia. They really are psychopaths, aren't they? Yeah. Hey, let's go over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Now listen, Alexa, play.
Okay, so you've got Alexa trained.
Yeah,
do you?
I got an Alexa.
You got Alexa trained, huh?
Oh yeah.
You got Alexa trained.
Yeah, I got Alexa. Stop.
Okay. Yeah. Now.
I got an Alexa. So I'm back to being able to listen every day.
Hot dog! I'm glad of it. Things settling down for you, Kevin?
Yeah, getting there. I still don't have a computer, but the Alexa is the first step, and maybe in the next couple weeks I'll have a computer. So almost back to normal.
Good. How's the kitty cat?
Doing good. Still a little traumatized from after the fire. Still not wanting to come out when anybody knocks on the door and comes in, but other than that, doing well. Likes the new apartment, lots of cabinets and doors and closets to explore. So he's doing pretty well. Sad as ever. So, you know, bad and happy.
Good.
So I just wanted to call in and note that I now have the ability to listen every day without calling into the stress line.
Oh, and that's wonderful. Glad of it.
Yeah, man. Just with the Alexa, the possibilities of things I can do besides listen to your show, you know, it really makes a difference. And so I'm very grateful for that. So, and of course, next step's the computer, and we'll go from there.
Then the moon, right?
I wouldn't say exactly the moon, but we'll take. I don't know if we'll take planet Earth at this point, considering everything that's going on. But yeah, we'll take that for the time being. I think maybe the moon might be a bit safer at the moment.
Well, anywhere that he's not, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just listening to all this that's going on just makes your heart break. The story about the 17-year-old, and what can you do about that except grieve for the child? I do not say grieve of the parents because they caused their child's death, so you really can't say grieve with them at this point, but you can grieve for the child.
Yeah, and you can be furious at the spread of the QAnon horse shit that ultimately is the cause of the child's death.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm wondering about licensure of both the father and the mother at this point, because apparently they were prescribing their daughter these drugs that didn't work for obvious reasons, one not being an antiviral and the other one proven not to work for COVID anyway. And yes, he's a physician's assistant, but where did they, like you mentioned, where did they get these drugs? And was there not someone supervising? Because generally when you're treating your own family members, you should be having someone supervise that treatment.
I think you're not even a physician or anyone empowered to treat is not supposed to treat their own family.
No, it's like being a lawyer.
It's unethical.
For a client. Yeah.
By the way, our mutual friend Lou has ratted you out.
Yeah. What did Lou have to say?
Did you know Kevin's a Mets fan? It takes all types, I guess.
Well, I'm a proud Mets fan, and I don't even know what to say about this baseball season other than I'll be surprised if it gets beyond 10 games before.
Did you see that the Braves All-Star, I think first baseman, has been diagnosed and is really sick with COVID-19?
Oh, yeah.
And young and healthy as a horse?
Yep. So, but COVID's 99% not worth anything. You know, it doesn't affect anybody at all. 99% of the time, didn't you know that, Bob? I mean, you can trust what the president says, can't you?
Sure.
And we've known this. We've known before Freddie Freeman got sick that young people were getting sick and dying from this. We've had stories from a 4-month-old and older juveniles that have died from this COVID. And yet these people still persist in their belief that it won't hurt you. And how many people out of that, and there's no contact tracing, so you can't know, but at that party down there in Alabama, out of those 100 or so kids that were down there, I'd really like to know how many of them are being hospitalized because they got the COVID. And how bad are those hospitalizations? How many died? Or how many will die?
I know.
I was lucky because of the fire not to get COVID. I spent 6 hours out in the parking lot waiting to find out where we'd go, no mask, no nothing, and then went to 2 hotel rooms. But that was nothing I couldn't do anything about that. But since that time, every time I go out, I wear a mask. Anytime any of my helpers come in, I wear a mask. And I know wearing a mask protects others from me, not so much me being protected from others.
Now, there is some when you move up into the N95 range, there is some personal protection. But the whole theory behind masking is to protect others from spread by you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. No, you wouldn't. I'm not. The number of people who are completely either willfully ignorant or generally ignorant of that fact. Well, it's leading to tragic results.
Well, like the guy you played at the beginning of the program that was fighting with the other guy because the other guy was wearing a mask. You know, those kind of people that don't have to wear a mask because feed them. I mean, it's just spectacular ignorance. That's the only thing you can call it. But the trouble is, their ignorance might cure you. And what are your kids going to do when their kids have to go back to school? Will they keep them out?
This is going to be utter chaos. And the thing is, you know, it's like that clip I had of Rand Paul last week, Kevin, saying, science has demonstrated, and libertarian philosopher Hayek has proven that we can't trust Dr. Fauci, and children don't even get sick with this.
Well, okay,
let's assume that's all correct. They can spread it.
Exactly.
And you know, in rural poor states in particular, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it's right. You got a lot of grandparents raising a lot of grandchildren.
Yep.
And so when those little grandkids go off to school, and look, any given educational year, the schools are just centers of disease because there's bad parents out there who won't keep their kids home. There's parents out there that will send their kids to school just so they can go to work.
Yep.
And that's just any given year. Factor this in, and we are talking about mayhem.
Yep.
It would be helpful, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen it. Maybe it's out there. It would be helpful, though, to see some kind of commentary, some kind of offering of cogency from the teachers' union, because they have shown themselves willing to throw themselves onto the gears of the machine, and if they really want to protect the children, they've got to stop this nonsense. And in rural poor states, those grandmas and grandpas taking care of their grandkids, there's no infrastructure to take care of the kids when grandpa and grandma get sick.
Yep.
And horribly die.
Yep.
But Jim Justice is afraid he won't be reelected if he doesn't put children's lives at risk. It's the damnedest political calculus I've ever seen. But it's also completely in line, Kevin, with maggot thought, if we can even use that word.
Well, most of them do not think they follow their leader, Corona Caligula, and whatever he says is what they believe and do. And we see the results of that just on Air Force One recently. You had the 17-year-old that died, and until someone in the Trump inner circle is very sick or dies, I don't think they'd do that. They would do anything about it. I don't think Trump would do anything about it, unless.
Well, Kevin, you know how it is with these mega churches.
Yep.
They're set there sat Mike Pence on the front row being spewed at by 200 people with no masks in a church that had recently experienced an outbreak.
Yep.
Now, I don't even know how to put this. You have to take care of the president and the vice president based on, if nothing else, the line of succession. But there he was, trying to catch it. I mean, you'll forgive me, Kevin, if this engenders a little bit of paranoia on my part. How is it that they're able to LARP and Smolik and Tossel and Grabolate all over each other, and Pence and Trump don't get it?
Yep, I know.
What are they being treated with?
Well, it's fairly obvious the Secret Service isn't getting that same treatment, because how many Secret Service agents have gotten sick that protect the president and vice president?
Right, and Pence's, one of Pence's advisors got it.
Yep.
It's creepy. It's creepy, Kevin.
Yep.
And there's a new model out from the University of Washington. It says that by November, there will be 208,000 dead from COVID-19. That's 78,000 more between now and November.
Yep.
On the other hand, they noted that if 95% of the population was to wear a mask in public, by November, there would only be 162,808 dead.
Yep.
In other words, about 32,800 more. When we were expecting 2,000 a day in June.
Yep.
But now we're learning a little bit. We're learning that. Just because we didn't get that, people felt like that they were okay. And so now we're getting what we're getting.
Yep. What are we up to now per day here in the beginning of July? Is it 10,000 a day dying across the country? Obviously, I haven't followed it because I can't, but...
Yeah. And, oh, Jesus. All right, maybe that's the infection rate. It's not dead per day. That's the infection rate. Well, the bottom line is when I check the Johns Hopkins map, what they show as of today, Kevin, is... Now, I read earlier 130,000 dead, but in the United States, 2,981,602 confirmed cases, with 131,248 dead.
Yep.
And we will, as I noted, we will be at 1% of the population in a week.
Yep. Well, yeah.
So you make sure you take care of you.
I'm doing that as best I can. The only thing I can do is wear the mask when I come in from outside. I try to remember to wash my hands first thing and not to touch my mask with my hands, but it, as you described, it only takes one person to spread it, and we've got so many people that aren't doing anything to protect themselves and others. That's the scary part. And so, yes, I'm doing everything I can, but that may still not be enough. You don't know, other than staying inside, and you got to go out for groceries sometime. So, I'm doing all I can.
And no one can ask more.
Nope. Nope. So, anyway, I'll let someone else talk, Bob. I just wanted to call in and kind of brag a little that I finally got the Alexa and I'm back to listening every day. So
I'm glad. I'm so glad to know you're there, Kevin. I really appreciate you letting us know.
Well, thank you, and hello to everyone in the Horn family, and I'll sign off for now. So goodbye, and I'll talk to you later on, Bob.
All right. Later, Kevin. Take care.
Thank you.
Our buddy Kevin in Colorado Springs. I'm so glad that things worked out as well as they did for him after the fire. Because this community worries about itself. We care about each other. Jude pointing out, oh yeah, be best. There she is. Melanoma quoted, when children are out of school, they are missing more than just time in the classroom. They are missing the laughter of their friends, learning from their teachers, and the joy of recess and play. No word on whether she said that while wearing clothing or not. I'm not sure which way I'd bet. Hey, let's run over to Skype. Is that you, Tracy?
Yes, and I can say hallelujah. 'Tis done. I just finished my last final for this session of summer school.
Hot diggity. And the next one starts what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Well, officially tomorrow, but I've already started my class. It's a biology 100 lab with a lab, so 2 units for the class.
Yay, 1 unit. Frog dissection party!
Woohoo! But there will be no frog dissecting in my house, thank God. So, that part. So, I got an A in poli sci. Now, if you ask me anything about political science right now, I couldn't tell you a Whig party from the Federalist, because I don't really give a fuck right now. Let me think about it for a couple of days, and I could probably talk to you about it, but I don't care right now.
That's probably okay.
But I did care about, for extra credit, I had to watch a really amazing documentary about Tom Bradley. There was a lot of stuff that I had forgotten about him, because it just seems the 70s and the 80s and the 90s just seemed like such a long time ago when he was the mayor of L.A. But, my God, I did not realize just how much he did for the city and how he actually figured out a way to get rid of Daryl Gates. That part in and of itself was amazing. But that man truly, I mean, there are people who claim that, you know, there's politicians that claim that they love the city that they, you know, that they're mayor of. No, he loved this city and he truly thought he could make a difference. And for the most part, he did. On the analysis that I did for that extra credit, of course, I got an A on that, but, you know, that's just me. So I have an A in poli sci. I'm waiting for I have an A so far in my contemporary issues in African-American society. I'm still waiting for the final grade for the project that I did on Black maternal and infant mortality rates. I'm pretty sure I got an A on that. Now the class that I'm in is my Psych 150 class. The final on that took 4 hours because it was. Thank God I got extra time on that. It was 10 essay questions.
Fun.
Yes. So it was funny because, you know, I wake up at, you know, god awful early in the morning, and I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and so I was like, Okay, so do I go ahead and start my workout, or do I just get my my final over with? And I elected just to go ahead and get my final over with, and I'm glad I did, because that bitch was it was horrible. I mean, it wasn't that it was horrible. It was just that I don't do well in the abstract, and the questions were so just, like one of the questions was, how would a robot disseminate top-down theory and bottom-up theory? And I wrote back, I don't know how a fucking robot, I didn't say fucking robot, but I don't know how a robot thinks. I don't, you know, or like if you have to have a, if you had a brain injury,
who makes this shit up is a legitimate answer to that question.
Basically, you know, and I'm like, I don't know how a robot would think, but if it was up to me, you know, I said if I was to hazard a guess, and that's basically how I answer most of the questions. It's like, you know, unfortunately for me, the teacher knows my sense of humor and the way I react to shit, and, you know, so I answered 10, you had the choice of 10 out of 12 questions, and you had to pick 10. And I answered 10. And so I'm waiting for him to grade it. So I have an 88 at this point, and that's without the 15 points of extra credit that I did and without the final. So either I'm going to have a really high B or a really low A. I have no idea. But you know what?
I'm betting on the A.
I'm betting on the A. I'm betting on the A. You know, because I would really like to, you know, and considering that I took three summer school classes and one session, that's, you know, borderline crazy, but that's pretty admirable considering that I'm getting pretty much A's. I got, you know, like I said, there's the one class I'm not sure about, but I know I got A's in two of them, for sure. That part. So, and you know, I'm really nervous for, because the paper that I'm not nervous about the paper. I'm nervous for the girl that I did the project with, because she's a foreign student, and she just jumped through hoops. Because it was touch and go for her, because she wasn't sure she was going to be able to stay, not because of anything other than the fact that of money, because she had a job lined up on campus. She's from Sweden, and she's been here for 4 years, and this was going to be her last year. And they paid for her, you know, because Sweden is a real country. And they take care of their citizens, and they paid for her 4 years here. But then her last year was basically going to be on her, but she had a job lined up on campus at CSUN. But because of COVID and this campus being shut down, she no longer had that job.
Well, and it's interesting you would raise that, Tracy, because are you aware of the new rule out from ICE?
Yes. Yes, and so now, and I don't even want to talk, because, you know, so she got the money together, her family raised the money for her to be able to stay here. The only thing she was going to do was find a new place to stay, and now this is a whole new wrinkle, and I'm like, this motherfucker, you know, this girl is amazing, and she's truly an ally. I mean, she is. The other day, she, you know, we were talking about her privilege, and she's like, "I cannot believe my privilege." She's like, she got pulled over the other day. They didn't even ask her for her license, her registration, or anything like that. She was speeding. She absolutely was speeding. Nothing. No, didn't ask her for her license, her registration. Nothing. Just said, you know, have a nice day. Slow down.
Slow the hell down.
That's it. No, actually, he didn't even chastise us for speeding. Just, you know, have a nice day. That's it.
So we know it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, ICE is now saying that the student and exchange visitor program had previously allowed students to take their spring and summer 2020 courses online and stay in the U.S. But now that program is run by the ICE thugs. And they said yesterday, if you're an international student in the U.S. and schools go to online classes in the fall, you got to leave, or else your visa status will be at risk.
That is just I'm
brutal and hateful, But then again, the other side of that is if you're a student over here on a student visa, you might want to go home and take your classes online and be away from this toxic stew of Republican spread disease.
That's true too. And she can just come back and walk because this is her last semester, her last year anyway. And then she could just come back and, you know, hopefully by, you know, and if everything is done by the spring, she could just come back in the spring if they reopen campus spring semester.
Oh, and by the way, Kevin mentioned those 10,000 new cases. Now, that was Texas alone. Texas alone announced 10,000 new cases.
Jesus. You know, that might not be a bad
idea.
Y'all
were doing such a good job, and now not so much. What happened?
Not so much. Because, you know, Orange County, you know, Riverside County, Orange County, it's Imperial County.
Could we just refer to that, Tracy, and tell me if I'm wrong. Could we just refer to that part of California as Calabama?
Yes.
Because it sure seems like it.
Pretty much.
How did y'all manage to concentrate so much stupid in such a small place?
Republicans.
And why do the stupid people always get the nice beaches?
That part.
I mean, it's kind of unfair. But then again, here where I am, I'm totally creeped out. I go, you know, I'm filled with existential dread every time I have to go across the river, into the settlements for provisions. Because Fayetteville is crawling with out-of-state cars. I thought it would let up some yesterday since the holiday was over, but no. Maryland, Virginia, all kinds of places that are just up to their eyeballs in disease. And our rates here are rising, and it may not be entirely on us. It may be being brought here.
Well, see, here's the thing. Now, you know, here's the problem. Like, you know, we were just talking about the foreign exchange students, that they're talking about making them go back home. But what if they can't? Because they've been here, and they may have been exposed to the bullshit, and the people are like, yeah, you can't come back here. Then what? How about them apples?
Or what if you can't quarantine when you get back?
Right.
Oh, and that record-breaking 10,000 extra cases, additional cases in Texas today. Yeah, that they broke their previous record. That was just Saturday, when they had 8,260 new cases.
And that's Saturday before people got together on the, is that
yes.
because of the 4th of July or before
yeah.
the 4th of
these,
July?
These are announced cases, so if you think about the turnaround time for some of this testing, 3-4 days, like our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown was talking about, then what you got today were people who were tested on maybe Friday.
Mm-hmm. So that's not including. So that means people.
You won't see. You won't see. Yeah, you won't see testing results for the idiots who were LARPing and smolicking and grabulating and tossing with one another and saying, "Hey, buddy," you won't see that until Thursday, Friday, maybe. If they develop symptoms,
remember there's a rally up in
right.
Where is Mount Rushmore? You know, I
South there, South, right South was, Dakota, South Dakota,
South Dakota. So, yeah, and how many people were there?
That's an up to 2 week incubation period for the virus. So, the assholes from 4th of July may not get symptoms until. What is that? Until July 18th. And then it's four days for the test results to come back. So, I'd say along about July 22nd.
And that's if they get tested.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, somewhere between the 18th and the 22nd, there's going to be some big time poo-poo hit the fan.
Now, who in the Trump administration is sick now?
Trader Tot's girlfriend, the ex-wife of the governor of California.
Wait, who?
You didn't know that?
Who is?
Kimberly Guilfoyle. That's Trader Tot's girlfriend, and she used to be married to Gavin Newsom.
Oh, shit. Oh. Oops. That's awkward.
And so we can imagine Gavin singing, "You can have her, I don't want her, she's too sick for me." And you know, if Kimberly Guilfoyle had behaved like a decent human being, I'd feel bad for her having it. But she's been part of the problem, and she's as nasty a maggot as exists. And she hadn't made a secret of it. Meanwhile, Billable Rick, based on our conversation, Billable Rick is suggesting, I think, here, a new reality series. COVIDiots of Orange and Riverside Counties. It would probably be grimly humorous, mordantly funny. And as to Imperial and Riverside and Orange County being, you know, Calabama, Scott in San Diego writes, "Stupid people and nice beaches. They, many of whom are blindingly white, need the nice beaches more. This is why the rest of us can't have nice things." Yeah, precisely. let me ask you. I mean, you're a student. Are you fine with the idea of going back to in-person classes?
No.
What do you do in that event?
Okay, well, see, I don't want to do online classes. I would much prefer to be in class, but because they haven't come up with safeguards to, I mean, like I said, I go to the grocery store, I do stuff, but I'm in and out of the grocery store. I'm not hanging around. And for me, I'm not ready. But in all honesty, Bob, I'm torn because, I mean, I guess social distancing, if they had it, I would, you know, we could do hybrid, you know, and if, depending on how many people, because my department is small. You know, for Africana studies, this class sizes would be at the most maybe 20 students in the class. And depending on the size of the class, we could probably get away with it. But we're talking, how would we do social distancing between going from class to class and in the hallways and stuff like that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How do you do that?
Yeah. That's real. And, of course, that's what these maggots are ignoring with, among other things, David in South Carolina, Stan, sent this along. As of today, published a Talking Points memo, Trump says White House will pressure governors to reopen schools in the fall. Among other things, he said that Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is
doing a terrific job
by ordering that schools reopen in August, even though they are ablaze with this disease. And according to him, people are only keeping schools shuttered for political reasons, not because we actually care about the children and the people who teach and care for them.
Right. I mean, let's face it, Bob. My livelihood depends on kids going back to school.
Sure, that's part of why I'm asking you. I mean, you've got a specialized level of expertise in this.
Right. I mean, I'm a student who wants to go. Not only am I a college student, I transport special needs kids to and from school. If there's no school, I don't work. So, I mean, now granted, the school that I drive for is a very small school. But then again, how do you social distance special needs children? How do you safely keep them apart?
Sure, because it's enough of a challenge trying to keep typically abled children safe. But when you add in cognitive difficulties, it approaches the impossible, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, part of what you do is you have to be in close proximity with the child to get them in and out of the vehicle, right?
So now I don't. Fortunately for me, my student Penny is very able to get in and out the car by herself. So, and she can take her seatbelt and put it on and off, take it on and off without my assistance. So I'm fine with that. She even knows she can open the door and close the door on her own. And I don't have to do that. I don't even have to, it's a sister in and out the car. So I'm fortunate on that. But other drivers, you know, like for example, we have children in car seats.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Or kids who have trouble with something like a seat belt or a booster seat.
Mm-hmm. Or a booster seat. So there's all these things that we have to take into consideration now. You know, who's responsible for getting the kids in and out the car? They're showing us now, you know, because we took years ago, because, you know, the taxis used to have partitions. Now the taxis no longer have partitions. So they're looking into putting, like, us in bubbles. That's, you know, not putting the partitions back. But putting in like it's like kind of a bubble that only encompasses my seat. No longer will people be allowed to sit in the front seat, which is fine by me because I don't like motherfuckers sitting up front with me in the first place. What they're looking to do, especially for the students now, what they're looking to do is having split days. So half of the students go in the morning and the other half go in the afternoon. Or, you know, every other day, they're still trying to work out the logistics of how this is going to go. Hybrid, you know, like I said, some students are going to be at home. But like I said, for most of these kids, especially the special needs children, most of this is just high-end babysitting. Truth be told. And I can only imagine what the parents have been going through for the last now 4 months. So, it's, like you said, it's hard enough for, you know, for able-bodied children whose parents, you know, could you imagine that the only break, because these kids are used, basically, these kids are basically in school year-round. There's, you know, they're offered, you know, usually for no more than 2 weeks at a time, you're, even in the summer. Like right now, if this hadn't happened, Penny would be in school right now. She would have had, we would have been off.
Right, and you'd be driving.
I'd be driving. I would be working right now. And then they would have another break because we would have had like the 3rd of July off or what have you for us, but we would be in school, and then she'd have another break for like a week or so for like the first couple weeks of August or what have you, and then we'd be back like the mid to late August or what have you. And because some school starts in August. So, but like I said, who knows? So I'm really vested in this. And I mean, again, this is unprecedented. And then this idiot who has no leadership whatsoever. I mean, if we had as much shit as people talk about Hillary Clinton, we can both honestly say we would not be in this situation. You know, if COVID, if she was president now, if during this crisis, we would not be in this mess. I mean, there would be a clear national plan. There would not. In our Sunday paper, the Daily News, there was the headline, "The Great Mask Debate." Why the fuck is there a debate, Bob, about wearing a mask? Why is there a debate?
Because, I was talking with my friend Faith, earlier today. I pay him well. She had posted on Facebook. Smartass. She posted on Facebook that about, you know, mask wearing and so forth. And what I observed is that every time one of these nut job movements arises, it's always coming from the same fetid swamp. And it all bubbles up from a toxic spring that was drilled by the assholes who started the John Birch Society.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sovereign citizens carried cards saying that they didn't have to have a driver's license. Well, son of a gun, the mask holes are carrying cards now that say that they don't have to wear a mask, and it's a secret. Why? The John Birchers evolved into the teabaggers of 2010. And they evolved into the maggots. And the maggots have evolved into the mask holes. It's like watching the evolution of a virus itself. And it is spreading similarly. As COVID spreads through our physical bodies, this is spreading through our body's politic, Tracy. Does that make sense?
Oh, God, yes. Because the problem is, Bob, this, you know, we, and when I say we as a collective, I'm talking the collective as in the Horn family and other people, Americans, that have common sense, because common sense ain't so common. We that have the sense to wear masks because we care about each other and we care about others, that, you know, because we don't want to spread this virus.
And another part of why we're in the shape we're in.
We're being held hostage by, we're being held hostage because even once we get this under control and there's a vaccine, we're still going to be held hostage by the anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, and we're being held hostage by a mentally deranged, damaged misanthrope in the White House who, you know, I had the story just a minute ago about Dr. Fauci saying things ain't good. And so Nitwit Nero then declared,
we'll be in very good shape in 2 weeks, maybe four,
in an interview with
Greg. Didn't he say that 99% of the cases aren't as bad as people are saying, or what did he say?
99% of the cases are harmless.
Are harmless. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, tell that to, 130,000 plus dead American families. Or families with 130,000 dead Americans.
100,000 dead Americans. And the family that are getting like five people in their family dying, you know, with it at the same time. I mean, fuck, I'm tired of being at home, you know?
Who's
I
want to
go somewhere.
It's summer. I had plans. I had plans this year. You know, part of my little experiment in the winter was to see if it would be possible to go away, live for a couple of months, do the program, what have you, and then come home.
Right.
And this time of year.
That was the plan.
You know, you live how many miles from the nearest beach?
10.
Okay. See, my nearest beach is 8 hours. An 8-hour drive.
Depending on traffic,
it could be 8 hours. Yes, I get it. Yeah, because L.A. and take the 8 3/4 into the 16 7/13 and it right, but it and 60 if I want to go to the beach that's my favorite, and I get beach fever, I get a desperate yearning to just be in the sun, listen to the sea, the ocean, the wash onto the shore.
Can you go to the beach without, you know, combusting?
Yes. Something amazing is happening this summer. I haven't burned. I haven't blistered. I haven't peeled. I think my back has turned into one big freckle, Tracy.
Get the fuck out of here. And you can't take advantage of that shit because of COVID?
Or it could be. It could be that, you know, maybe there's such a thing as osmotic melanin. And I'm getting it through my headphones or something from people like you,
hanging out with me,
Lady B,
and Todd, and Reggie,
and Hung Like Jesus, and Ron, and maybe you know, maybe that's what's happening. I don't know, but I ain't burnt. But on top of that, though, I can also be smart about it because I've got those. I've got those summer weight hoodies that are SPF 50. They're real, real light fabric, but they block. But they do SPF 50 blocking.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that.
It's like, you know, here's, like I said, the problem is... again, we, because no matter how hard we try to do the right thing, we still got to deal with the bullshit of the idiots.
Right, because any chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And we and 33% of the electorate in this country are some weak links. Possibly missing links.
I think the missing link is what because knuckle dragging, mouth breathing motherfuckers.
Why we can't have nice things.
Why we can't fucking have nice things there, Bob. I mean, seriously.
Tracy, filing under why we can't have nice things, the other news today that we have started the one-year clock to get out of the World Health Organization.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because, you know, we wouldn't want to be, you know, hanging out with the smart people. And you certainly wouldn't want to have worldwide cooperation on trying to stop things like pandemics.
No.
No.
This country is getting, is it stupider or more stupid? You know me in grammar.
It's stupiderer. Stupiderer. Yeah. Stoopiderer. Stupiderer.
Stupiderer. I am embarrassed. So the other day, I did on the 4th of July, because, you know, Saturday was the 4th. And so because of the holiday, there were no Weight Watchers Zoom meetings because Weight Watchers was closed. So I found a meeting in Canada. And it was funny. It's, you know, they said greetings to our neighbors south of the border, and it tickled me because I'm like, oh shit, I am south of the border, right?
Yeah.
And they were very polite and very nice. And
hey, but don't be coming up here, eh? Okay, great.
Yeah. Yes, don't be coming up here. And don't be coming up here, eh? You know, because talking about building a wall. I mean, they don't want us up there. The EU don't want us out there. I mean, it's they were so concerned that, you know, and I'm like, I said, I'm not in charge of anything, but if I were, it would be a national law that we have to wear masks everywhere you go. There would be fucking fines if you didn't have on a mask. There would be no debate. If you go out in public, you have to wear a mask. And I have to say, I've been, like, when I go for my runs, I forget. But in all honesty, when I go out for my runs, there's nobody out with me when I go for my runs. I'm out there before the sun goes up, specifically so I don't have to wear a mask, because when I do wear a mask and I run, my glasses fog up. So I do keep a mask with me just in case. But I prefer not to wear a mask because I can't see. That's the only reason why. Like I said, running at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, nobody's out there but me. But then again, like I said, I do have a mask in my running belt with me just in case. But when you're out in public, like the other day, I went for a run and I left later than I normally do. And another thing is I run in my neighborhood because I do try to avoid the park and stuff like that, because there's too many people, especially like on Saturdays and Sundays, because there's so many people out and they're out there with no masks and they're just, and I don't, we don't know if, you know, they still don't know about sweating and stuff like that. And I'm like, I just avoid people, you know? And it's like, new people. And it's like, you can always tell the people who are I wouldn't say just because you don't have on the mask you're a Trump supporter, but you got to wonder. Because, you know, why do you not have on a mask? What's the big deal? So my neighbor, I mean, not my neighbor, a friend of mine, we were talking, and he was talking about his neighbor, who was, you know, screaming about, you know, about masks and stuff. Well, look, what about them at the rallies and, you know, trying to say that the reason why the numbers are up.
They always go there. Well,
not the rallies.
Yeah. What about the protesters? Protest. Well, the protesters were wearing masks.
Thank you. They were wearing masks, assholes. And they were doing their level best to do social distancing. Because I was at a protest. And for the most part, everybody was pretty, they were doing their very best, their level best to do social distancing. But they all had on masks. They were responsible. At the rallies, they were doing their level. No social distancing, no hand sanitizer, no nothing, no mask. They were laughing at it. And then, and what about these COVID-19 parties when people are trying to get COVID-19?
Yeah, it's a thing. And naturally, so far, it's taking places in places you'd expect them to happen. One person referred to the event that. The youth event that First Assembly of God had in Florida as a COVID party. And then we know, of course, of the COVID parties in Tutman, you know, where else? Alabama. Although you can argue that massive gatherings on the 4th of July in Michigan, Texas, Arkansas, anywhere, those are all COVID parties, Tracy, because they're saying, yeah, we don't care. It's not just that we don't care about us. We don't care about y'all. And so that means that it's going to be ever harder to get this thing under control.
Do you think we're ever going to get it under control, Bob?
Yeah, I think eventually it will, but it's going to kill a shitload of people. Already has. But like that study coming from the University of Washington, 208,000 dead by November. That's 78,000 more deaths in the rest of July, August, September, October, 4 months.
What do you think the long range goal is for the Republican Party? Do you think they're trying to kill off the electorate or what?
I think there's a significant number part of the present MAGA party that was nervous at first, and then the numbers came out that it was disproportionately killing in communities of color, and they said, cool, that works for us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, and if it kills off a significant percentage of unemployed and uninsured people, that's still a bonus for Republicans because that's how Republicans are.
Yep. But what happens when it starts killing off their base? Old white people.
Well, that was limited use anyway, because
right,
they were, you know, that's Fox News is just a TV that plays in God's waiting room where all of, you know, that for all the Emerys and Marvelines all over the country.
Right. They're expendable. But what if it starts cutting into the 30% of the country, though?
I don't know if they've thought that far, but I see stories every day talking about how...
Wait, hold on, Bob, hold on. Actually, I gotta go.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. But there, you know, there's a story a day about Republican insiders who are telling Mitch McConnell, whomever, that they're going to get slaughtered in November.
And they may, you know, a cornered rat is the most dangerous rat, but they may be trying to just come to grips with it or figure out a way to defeat the defeat. You know, what was it, Friday we were talking about the nexus between those two, the business about screwing with the election so as to get it thrown into the House and getting Trump reelected there. And then the next thing was an interview between Peter Navarro and Ali Velshi, in which Navarro went full on yellow peril racist on China. Well, I think you could say that it happened again today. The director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, was speaking at an event organized by the Hudson Institute, wherein he said, of the nearly 5,000 active FBI counterintelligence cases currently underway across country, almost half are related to China. And at this very moment, China is working to compromise American healthcare organizations, pharmaceutical companies, and academic institutions conducting essential COVID-19 research. You'd think that would be more in the way of the jurisdiction of the CIA, wouldn't you? If you're an American adult, it's more likely than not that China has stolen your personal information, your personal data. What better way to set up a claim that the election in November was compromised? That's the default assumption I'm going to make with every one of these pieces that are out there. The Chinese Communist Party uses a diverse range of sophisticated techniques, everything from cyber intrusions to corrupting trusted insiders, even outright physical theft and the corruption of our precious bodily fluids. No, I added that part. So he's trying to ramp up anti-Chinese sentiment when there's been over 800 anti-Asian hate crimes in California in the last 2 or 3 months. Here's a note. Billable Rick. Bob. Yep, see, he pulled up short of gimmick infringement. There's just two Bobs there. I found out about 10 days ago that Star's neighbor Pete in Orange County was diagnosed with COVID-19 after Bella escaped the backyard and Pete grabbed her. Pete told Star that she better wash her hands as she grabbed the dog chain collar from Pete, and then told Star he'd tested positive for the Rona and that he'd had an ebbing and flowing fever for several days and generally felt like crap. With all the bars in the area closed, Pete decided to bring the bar to his house along with all of his barfly buddies. From about mid-March to mid-June, Pete hosted parties in his garage and house about 5 nights each week, with anywhere from 10 to 15 people attending each party. Talk about partying like it was 1999, or perhaps more appropriately, hosting Coronapalooza 2020 parts 1 through 50. I told Star that it was only a matter of time before Pete and or many of his drinking buddies caught the Rona. Damned if I wasn't right. Pete tested positive around June 20th. On July 3rd, Pete told me over the wall from at least 20 feet away that he'd self-quarantined for almost 2 weeks and his 14 days were up on July 4th. To our amazement, on July 4th, a large contingent of COVIDiots came to Pete's house to drink, LARP, smollett, grabulate, and tousle each other's hair for that evening's festivities. The attendees, barflies, must have known that Pete had just gotten the Rona, but they'd still had to show up at Shea Pete's to whoop it up and watch shoot off fireworks. My guess is that a super spreader was at that event. We shall see how many of the COVIDiot barflies at Shea Pete's contract COVID-19 to thereby propagate the virus more throughout the OC. This has been Billable's Dispatch from behind the orange curtain, without any assistance from an imaginary stuffed animal friend, but with help from real pets, German Shepherds, Bella, High Ten, and Sweet William. Wow. I'd be 72 shades of creeped out, Rick. You are a lone voice crying in a sea of crazy. My
Mike in Cascadia writing in, 4th of July party. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Does this come with audio?
Woo! Woo!
You got a woo there. Understand, there are people standing on the roof of a dwelling, looks like an apartment complex of some sort, two stories. Looks like there's a pool below. People gathered for a big party, and some in swimwear, some in just, you know, hanging out clothes, but there's two idiots in swimwear up on the roof. The guy cleared the porch. The girl didn't have quite enough energy at liftoff. Turned a full 360, bashed her head on the porch roof, and then tumbled into the pool, and then bobbed to the surface. Oh, for fuck's sake. But Mike in Cascadia says, fat, drunk, and stupid says to coronavirus, here, hold my beer. Watch this. MAGA says, I don't believe in science. I don't believe in climate change. I don't believe in coronavirus. Well, sorry, MAGA. Despite your beliefs, science is real. Witness gravity and its demonstrable effect on this poor girl. It smacked her at 32.2 feet per second squared when she slammed into that awning. There's a MAGA metaphor in there. Climate change and coronavirus are going to smack the MAGA deniers like that awning smacked that girl. 32.2 feet per second squared when it slams into you. Ah, Jude, those are lovely photos from the Great Northwest and from the beach of the Great Northwest. That just looks magnificent. Breathing in, letting go, breathing out. That's just exquisite. Yeah. I need some, beach time. Or as the, great Americana musician Will Kimbrough sings, I need to go to Horseshoe Lake. And yeah, Nitwit Nero is insisting that we sacrifice our children and education professionals on the blood-soaked altar of his political ambitions.
We just heard Mike was telling me that Governor DeSantis doing a terrific job. He just announced that the schools will be open in the fall, and we hope that most schools are going to be open. We don't want people to make political statements or do it for political reasons. They think it's going to be good for them politically, so they keep the schools closed. No way. So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools, to get them open, and it's very important. Very important for our country. It's very important for the well-being of the student and the parents. So we're going to be putting a lot of pressure on open your schools in the fall.
Homicidal maniac. Historians will be generations calculating the harm this monster has done to the country, to the world. To every demographic, every psychographic.
And, of course, he absolutely won't wear a mask. Shorty in L.A. says, what the fuck? Tell Tracy, Long Beach sees its first case of West Nile virus this year. Public health officials warning people to be vigilant during mosquito season after a patient in his or her 60s was diagnosed with West Nile virus in Long Beach this week, marking one of the first cases in Southern California so far this year. Oh, God. Because 2020. Oh, and as to the young woman who died at the hands of her mother's malign negligence, Elbert in Rhode Island points out that 17-year-old girl's friends donated over $1,000 to a GoFundMe website while she was in the hospital. It was mentioned in the Washington Post article. Yeah, because that's how we fund health care in America now. For the love of God. We certainly have had our fair share of Trump-tanic intellect today, haven't we? Brother Deacon Asa heard what you wrote, Billable. Without the help of an imaginary stuffed animal, that there sentence is a shot across the bow. Them's is fighting words, Billable Rick. Don't kill, please. Don't get them started, Asa. In-studio temperature has dropped to all of 84.6 degrees. I think I've sweated off 10 pounds in here today. Well, there went dinner in the Mountain Time Zone. Sweaty Naked Radio. That's perilously close to endangering dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. And this is a little bit, I'm certainly not encouraging anyone to buy it, but it's certainly interesting. Donald Trump's younger brother, whom one never hears from, went to court to try to stop the publication of the new book by Mary Trump about the sleazy inside dealings of her family. And all kinds of publication, all kinds of news outlets, media outlets, have a copy already. And so the court just can't do a hell of a lot about it. But the Mary Trump confirms a lot of the things that we have suspected all along. The name of the book is Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. She talks about how her grandfather and Donald, in other words, Fred and Donald, destroyed her father, Fred Trump Jr. She says, for Nitwit Nero, cheating is a way of life. She alleges, among other things, and suddenly things become clear, she alleges that he paid someone to take the SAT for him. So he could get into Wharton, that he got in fraudulently, just like he avoided the draft fraudulently. Fraud is the organizing principle around which the organizing nucleus around which the electrons and protons, well, the electrons of his atom revolve. Her aunt, Mary Ann, who is a former federal judge, a senior status federal judge, Mary Ann Trump had lunch with Mary during 2015 and said of baby brother Donald and his presidential campaign, he's a clown. This will never happen. She also notes the only time Donald went to church was when the cameras were there. It's mind-boggling, but that's all about his base. He has no principles, none. In the book, she confesses to be the person who leaked family tax documents to the New York Times in an attempt to help expose him. And suggests that her Klansman granddaddy, well, that's what sociopaths do, she says. They co-opt others and use them towards their own ends, ruthlessly and efficiently, with no tolerance for dissent or resistance. Fred Sr. hated it when his oldest son screwed up or failed to intuit, and that would be Freddie, or failed to intuit what was required of him, but he hated it even more when, after being taken to task, Freddie apologized. Sorry, Dad, Mary writes, adding that Fred Sr. would mock Freddie for apologizing. I sure wish they would have kept him in Germany, his granddaddy. Might be a significantly better world now. Albert, the dead girl in Florida's parents are a nurse and a physician's assistant, not a physician. But yeah, they probably had health care, but still, the friends wanted to put up something for... yeah. Darlene asks, so it begs the question... Could mosquitoes transmit the COVID? If so, we are so fucked. So far, we have not seen that sort of zoonotic transmission mosquito-wise. But there is a raging debate in the medical community between the idea of droplet transmission and aerosol transmission, with trends moving toward an understanding that yes, aerosolized COVID-19 can infect you too, which will have massive ramifications for how we deal with it, and masking will have to become mandatory, and not just with the we'll have to have everybody will have to be in an N95. Which is deeply disturbing. As to Mary Trump's book, Scott in San Diego says, I ordered it last night. She's a shrink, and I think she's also authored textbooks in her field. Plus, she's a family insider and knows what the deal is within her dysfunctional clan. I can't wait to read it after the July 14th publication. Perhaps you can do the... Scott's Digest condensed form for us some evening thereafter, Scott. And let's run over to the stress line as we wind up the program. Jeremy in Vermont. Sweaty naked radio still sounds better than Speedo sweaty naked wireless microphone nipple clamp radio while your kids' grandchildren watch in horror, unable to look away like Trump at the eclipse last year, that being due to the pasty white skin you often brag about. Yeah, I probably should have left off the part about the lavalier mic. Where else was I supposed to put it, though? It's a lavalier mic. It's got clipped something. Yow! Mm-hmm. And by the way, it looks like we're going to finish the program at the $250 mark to go in fundraising. So we'll be at $450 tomorrow. And I may have to drag out the deacons and weld the cathedral doors shut. But if we could knock down $50 in the next 9 minutes or so, we'd at least have yesterday taken care of. And over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Shorty Pie. How you doing?
Hey, Shorty, what's happening?
BB. All right. How's my voice sound? Is it my fault because I got the fan blowing?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay, number one, first things first. Okay, we had these options. We had two options with three bottles. We had a frozen bottle, totally frozen, you know, one of those gallons of ice water. Okay? Then we had a bottle of crushed ice. And then the next gallon was just brain freeze water, right? And he said, okay, go ahead and douse your shirts with the ice water. You'll be outside in 30 seconds. I was like, fuck, I ain't doing that damn brain freeze. Sweetheart, I opened the tent, walked out. You know how somebody goes, ah, you know, to clean the mirror?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. I said, fuck, excuse me, guys. I said, fuck that. Took it off and put the water on. And then the shirt, my T-shirt dried. My T-shirt dried maybe less than 5 minutes. So I brain freeze myself. So point of this conversation is grab a T-shirt you have, well, however you do it, wet it, and then put it on. Poor man's air conditioning.
Exactly. I should have thought of something like that before I started the program. It's just when the humidity goes up here, whew.
That's okay.
It gets gooey.
Ew. Okay, I cannot unhear that.
Yeah, sorry.
Ew.
Ew.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sorry. Guess what?
What's that?
Did you know that the Pentagon is thinking about removing these flags, right? On the bases?
Yeah.
Military bases? Get this. There's a bunch of Agent Orange children that are really upset. Like, I have a godson whose father's buried there. But they're really upset because they've been doing some research. Because my dumbass posted something, you know, and showed the picture of the last time I used this word, mammy holding the baby, you know, on the Confederate statue at Arlington Cemetery. You know. And a lot of their dads and moms and stuff are buried there, right? And my godchildren, there's a bunch of them. We had to cancel the summer, you know, party that we have because of the COVID, right? And so they've been doing the research and they found out that the Pentagon is the only one that can have that statue removed. So fuck Trump. His, what do you call that? Executive order, whatever, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. He cannot tell the Pentagon no on this because they control the cemetery. Aha! Uh-huh. And the Pentagon, we call it the president, cannot tell the Pentagon not to do this. So the marshals buried there. The very first one to die was Henry Crispus, whatever.
Oh, Crispus the Tux.
Yeah, well, he died. I think it was. He didn't die of a war injury. I think it was some kind of virus.
Crispus the Tux was killed by a redcoat in Boston.
One for the first black guy?
Yeah, he was the first death of the American Revolution, and he was a black guy.
Yeah, well, I thought what's called Arlington has to get it right then, because they said he died of some kind of what was called it like a smallpox, some kind of swine, whatever it was. But anywho, so this started a while back, and it happened even when Obama had the labor reach, because they have to labor reach at both. Portions of the cemetery. But 2 days ago, these Daughters of Columbus, Daughters of the Columbus Clan, whatever you call them, Confederate people, are now protesting the removal. But the Pentagon has the choice. So if the president says whatever, blah, 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 don't do it, those generals could say, you know, screw you. I don't have to listen to your order. Because last week, you had the Air Force band playing and with no mask, you know, 20 minutes away from Ellsworth Air Force Base. Then on the 4th, you had the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines COVID, whatever you call it, compromise. Dereliction duty MF-er. That they call that thing that they do on Key and Peele translator.
Oh, yes.
Anger translator.
Translator.
I'm doing I'm doing the Pentagon anger translator. You know. And especially the new guy Chief of Staff of the Air Force. His name is Charles Brown, okay? And he has this official Air Force video called What I'm Thinking About. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
But he's talking about all the things, he's talking about what he's thinking about. What I'm thinking about when I was a kid, this happened when I was black. I'm thinking about this, thinking about that. When I became commander, I'm thinking about all those who didn't include me. I'm thinking about this. And then the last part, he's thinking about, you know, he's pretty much saying, this ain't my first rodeo with you crackers, you know. So now he's at the Pentagon, okay? So he's in charge of the Air Force. And it did go out a message to people, especially because the order on the United States Air Force band, it says, due to COVID, we ain't doing it. No appointments, no gatherings, no nothing. Don't even think about it.
And yet there, they were bleeding away at Mount Rushmore.
Right. So here's the anger management, you know, of the guy. Hey, honey, I'm here at fucking Rushmore, you know. Anger management. Oh, hell no, I'm calling. So those wives, most of them had stripes. They were enlisted. Okay?
Right.
Had stripes. Yeah.
No, wait. Okay. They were introduced as the Air Force Academy Band.
Oh, yeah. That, thank you. That's where I was going. The enlisted would play for the officers. Okay? Like the nigger shines the shoes, pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga? You know what I'm saying? So they're in there, you know, summer blues with their stripes on, tech sergeants or whatever above, or masters, whatever the hockey puck it was. Okay? And so what happens after that? Do they go to the morgue or do they go to quarantine? You know? See?
Well, given that they were exposed, how would they not be quarantined, Shorty?
Well, yeah. But see, the thing about this thing, there's no time period. That crap about the 2 week or 30 day, whatever you call it. No. Remember that guy that was spitting all over the microphone was in Florida? They told me 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's been 8 weeks. Well, there you go. Well, then maybe it takes 8 weeks for it to reach you. Was that guy spitting the governor or whatever he was of Florida saying about no mask and we're supposed to be like New York right now or whatever, and it's been 8 weeks and nothing happened, then all of a sudden, right, Florida's compromised, the whole state. You know, and stupid-ass NBA's going to Florida for a bubble. I don't know why.
Oh, what did I see yesterday? Nine more NHL players have tested positive. I mentioned the one guy on the Braves. There's two other guys on the Atlanta Braves also positive.
Well, did you hear the one about the guy? Oh, what's that guy's name? Gumbel. He has the Real Sports thing, whatever.
Yeah, Brian Gumbel.
It was last week. He had, you know, he honestly saw the episode. But they had one of the football players was talking. He said, "So my buddy," he said, "what about the so and so?" NFL, he goes, "we know I'm stealing one of my guys' front linemen." He said, "the first thing we do is butt heads and spit in each other's face when the ball is hiked. Probably before the ball is hiked." I'm like, damn. Okay. I didn't think about that. You know. So, you know, and people keep forgetting, sweetie, that this is a shedding virus. You know. So, whatever you got on you and you're taking that bubble, it's a wrap, huh? It's a wrap. You know. I mean, if you don't have the money,
Shorty, there's so many unanswered questions. The only responsible thing to do is to lock down, do the right thing by the American people, suppress the transmission, and then go forward.
Yeah, and then before that critical thought takes less than a blink. I have family. You know?
Right.
You have to buckle down and we call that shut up shop or whatever. How much money can they make if they have these, what do you call those things, on demand, we call it pay-per-views or whatever, like those guys are playing at esports basketball. Or they could do a COVID, I saw yesterday, game show by the guy, Kevin Hart. They can make money. You know, if it's about money, make some money, COVID lockdown, and people will call in or watch it, whatever. You can call money, how many sponsors you get. You know, how much money you make. You know, and if it's a real serious thing, You know, we need to stand up and say, F you all, you sports owners. Because you're saying master and slave. You know, that's crazy. In a bubble.
Shit. I know.
I'm trying so hard. But yeah, so today is the day that we rise up because I don't want to see any Agent Orange kids out there. But they don't give a hot fuck. Some of them are the longest surviving, you know. Oh, this is what I really want to talk to you about. So in honor of that, I'm doing this change.org thing. And I'm trying to get the words right. Now that I know that I have to send it directly to the Pentagon. And I think I'm going to get so many characters. Okay, here's the statement. Calling for the removal of the treasonous Confederate memorial at Arlington Cemetery, the final resting place of the Honorable. Then I start, somebody said, wait a minute now. They're going to say that the Honorable lost Confederates. So how about this? Calling for the Pentagon to remove the treasonous Confederate memorial at Arlington Cemetery, the home, the final resting place of the of our patriots. What do you think?
I like it.
Hello?
It's succinct.
Hello?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, well, after.
It's succinct and it gets the point across and it suggests a remedy and doesn't belabor the point.
Because you know here's the thing. It says Trump signed an executive order, whatever, blah blah blah, 13933, and it says protecting American monuments, memorials, and statues, and combating recent criminal violence. Okay. So I don't give a crap. I have 90 characters for change.org petition. So, yeah. So if you guys send in suggestions, I'm going to try to do it before Friday.
Okay.
And I know we'll get a bunch of people. Yeah. And I'm going to address it to the Pentagon because I was just going to do a regular thing, right? And so, yeah. So, and you know how the universe works. Because I was going to say send, like, earlier today, and then I found out the Pentagon is responsible. So now I'm going to say, hello, Pentagon. Remove this crap. And it makes so much sense because they're patriots, you know? And treason is a horrible thing for the Pentagon.
It is frowned upon, isn't it?
Yeah. Aww.
Well, Shorty, you have yourself a wonderful evening. And listen, you stay safe, you hear?
Okay, and you put your right hand on your left shoulder and left hand on your right shoulder and squeeze, since you may not get a bunch of hugs.
All right, I'll do it. Shorty, be good now. It's great to hear from you.
I'm great to hear from you guys. Smooches.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Always a pleasure. Our buddy Shorty in L.A. So it's time to get out of here. But hey, about 56 minutes from now, brand new, fresh edition of the Mike Malloy Show airs at HeadOn.live. Please, if you are a truth seeker, this is your best place for listening. And I think you will. I think you'll agree. And that happens every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And another thing I've been mentioning, and I had a note from our buddy John in Colorado talking about my mention of smile.amazon.com. Johan says, thanks for turning me on to the smile.amazon.com program. I wouldn't have had a clue as to its existence otherwise. Glad to continue to help Coal River Mountain Watch, even if only in a small way for now. And our buddy Johan invites me to continue to mention this, and so I am. Usually I mention it when I'm talking about Coal River Mountain Watch, but if you do business with Amazon and you'd like for your purchase price to do some actual, real, substantive good, then always use smile.amazon.com and designate Coal River Mountain Watch as the beneficiary of a portion of your purchase proceeds. Because the more people do that, the more it adds up, the more good it does.
So thanks for the reminder, and thanks for doing it, Johan. Thank you very much. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers for today. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, Jeremy, this evening. Tomorrow, fundraising goal of $450. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And please, 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 stay home if you can. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. If you have to go out, please maintain social distances. Please wear your mask. And please, if you see somebody with Trump anything on, or if they just look like they're probably a maggot, avoid them like the plague. Because they are. Later.